Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
There's no better way to finish the Grand Slam season for me. A very emotional season in all aspects. So very happy the way that I played, happy the way that I managed the pressure and the way that I was competing during the whole event. The competitive spirit had been there in a very positive way all the time.
In a very positive way, Spanish tennis star Rafael Nadal has won his third U.S. Open singles title and 16th Grand Slam trophy overall in New York City. World number one Nadal cruised to a 6-3, 6-3, and 6-4 victory over the tall South African Kevin Anderson, a first-time Grand Slam finalist. In fact, let's give the 31-year-old Anderson a sunny side of sports salute. Kevin is the first South African to reach a Grand Slam final in the modern open era of tennis, a period spanning almost 50 years. We'll hear from Kevin Anderson, but first, let's hear from 2017 U.S. Open champion Rafa Nadal. Rafa and longtime rival Roger Federer of Switzerland dominated the major tournaments this year. Federer won the Australian Open and Wimbledon, while Nadal captured the French Open and the U.S. Open. At the post-match news conference in New York, Rafa was asked if he's surprised he and Federer won two major tournaments apiece in 2017.
Of course, I am surprised. I was surprised in January. Now I am not that much surprised, you know? After the first 2-3 months of the season, of course, you see that I am playing well, and if I am playing well on clay, I'm normally going to have my chances. And, of course, he was playing great, so, of course, he will have his chances on grass and on hard later, that like he had here. Yeah, of course, it's a surprise some time ago, now a little bit less. And there is just two things that probably we share, that is passion for what we are doing, passion for tennis, passion for the competition, and the spirit of improvement all the time.
Rafa talks about the spirit of improvement. Well, the South African Kevin Anderson showed some big improvement at the U.S. Open in reaching his first Grand Slam final. Anderson says the New York event was a great learning experience for him.
Yeah, there's definitely a few emotions and experiences I'm going to take from this, you know, a whole 2 weeks. I mean, obviously very pleased of making my way through to the finals and having that experience. I mean, you know, a few players, you know, get that chance. It's very tough. And, you know, to step out on court against Rafa tonight is, you know, I learned a lot of lessons. It's a difficult match. You know, up against somebody who's been on that stage over 20 times before. And it's, you know, definitely a few things I needed to have done better. Obviously, I had my work cut out for me. But I think overall, obviously, it's been you know, very, very positive 2 weeks for me.
Meanwhile, it was also a very, very positive 2 weeks for Sloane Stephens, who won her first major tennis trophy in an All-American women's singles final. Stephens beat Madison Keys 6-3 and 6-love. Both Stephens and Keys were playing in their first Grand Slam final, and Sloane talked about that during the post-match news conference.
I was extremely nervous before I went on the court. My coach was like, just breathe, take deep breaths, you know, like you'll be fine. And once I got out there, I felt a lot better. But I knew, nervous or not, her being nervous, me being nervous, we're going to have to compete no matter what. We're going to have to play. And I was just fortunate enough to be able to, you know, hold it together a little bit longer. And I just I just went out and competed and ran after every ball, and that's all I focused on.
After match point, Sloane Stephens and her good friend Madison Keys gave each other a long hug. Keys talks about the emotional moment.
I think, you know, we have known each other for so long and we've been through so much that we wanted to share that moment with each other. To be able to share my first slam experience with a really close friend when it's also her first slam is a really special moment. And again, if there's no one else in the world that would have meant as much as it did.
Madison Keys talking about her really close friend, Sloane Stephens, the 2017 U.S. Open Women's Singles Champion. The U.S. Tennis Association says about 700,000 people attended matches during the last Grand Slam event of the year. One celebrity who has been courtside for more than a few U.S. Open matches in recent years is the American rapper and businessman Jay-Z. And let's face it, VOA sports fans, Jay-Z knows his way around New York.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
Basketball Hall of Fame enshrined 11 new members over the weekend in the northeastern U.S. city of Springfield, Massachusetts. Headlining the list is Tracy T. Mac McGrady, a 7-time NBA All-Star and a 2-time NBA scoring champion. McGrady went straight to the NBA from high school. T. Mac says this is by far the biggest honor of his basketball career.
This is it. This is the elite. This is the ultimate. You're talking about a guy that came from high school to the pros and now in the Hall of Fame from Central Florida. And I never imagined in my career that this moment would be happening so quick. I'm only 37 years old. I still feel like I can play.
Others inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame include Kansas coach Bill Self, who led his team to the national title in 2008, former Chicago Bulls executive Jerry Krause, who died earlier this year at age 77 and was enshrined posthumously, and former women's star Rebecca Lobo, who won a national title at the University of Connecticut in 1995, an Olympic gold medal with the U.S. women's national team in 1996, and who played in the Women's National Basketball Association, or WNBA. Meanwhile, we've reached the semifinals of the WNBA playoffs. The four teams remaining are the Phoenix Mercury, the defending WNBA champion Los Angeles Sparks, the Minnesota Lynx, and the club based right here in Washington, D.C., the Washington Mystics. The semifinal round will be best of five games. In one series, Phoenix will play Los Angeles, and in the other, Minnesota will take on Washington. In last year's WNBA Finals, Los Angeles defeated Minnesota 3-2. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of
In European club football, the Bundesliga's first female referee oversaw a one-all draw between Hertha Berlin and Werder Bremen in Berlin, Germany. Speaking after the match, 38-year-old Bibiana Steinhaus said, and I quote, "To be honest, I'm relieved that it's over." The occasion was celebrated by the home side, Hertha Berlin, with a limited offer of half-price tickets for female supporters. Bibiana Steinhaus became the first woman to referee a top-tier match in the German, English, French, Italian, or Spanish leagues. Steinhaus had refereed 80 second division games since 2007, and she was the fourth official on numerous occasions in the Bundesliga. But this was her refereeing debut in the top flight. Steinhaus got a thumbs up from the president of the German Football Association. Reinhard Grindel said, and I quote, "She was under unbelievable pressure, yet was poised for all the important situations and made the right decisions. That was a confident display." Elsewhere, the artwork of a Sudanese cartoonist is inspiring people across the United States to speak out against racism and police brutality. As Ian Bior reports, although the cartoon was triggered by the protest of an American football player, the work was inspired by an iconic image from the 1968 Olympics.
Sudanese cartoonist Khalid El-Bey had never heard of National Football League quarterback Colin Kaepernick before he visited the United States last September. In fact, El-Bey has never followed the NFL. Hard-hitting American football is barely known in Central Africa. But he became inspired by Kaepernick's refusal to stand for the national anthem to protest racial injustice and police brutality in the U.S. El-Bey says when he first saw the image of Kaepernick kneeling, it reminded him of the 1968 Olympics, when American track stars John Carlos and Tommy Smith raised black-gloved fist on the medal stand.
So for me, this is the black fist of our century, of our generation.
With that image in mind, El-Bey pulled out pen and paper and began to sketch Kaepernick kneeling, drawing the athlete's huge afro in the shape of a fist.
For me, the black fist manifests the struggle of African-Americans, and of course, you know, civil rights as a whole.
A friend was so moved by the image that he encouraged El-Bey to have it printed on T-shirts to bring attention to the cause. American entertainers Chance the Rapper and Common, along with a handful of other celebrities, have been seen wearing the T-shirt, which has since gone viral. In Sports Illustrated magazine last month, writer Michael Rosenberg argued Kaepernick has become a symbol, just like running back Ray Rice, whose NFL career effectively ended after he was caught on camera punching out his fiancée at a casino. Rosenberg said NFL teams will, quote, gladly take five men who act and think like Colin Kaepernick before signing Kaepernick himself, just as they often take players who commit domestic violence but want nothing to do with Rice, end quote. El-Bey, who lives in Doha, Qatar, was inspired by Kaepernick while on a fellowship last fall at Maine's Colby College, where he taught human rights. While in the U.S., El-Bey visited the Malcolm X Memorial in New York and the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where civil rights icon Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968. The idea of a Romanian-born Sudanese cartoonist living in Doha, immersing himself in the Kaepernick controversy, does not strike Albay as odd.
We in this part of the world, in the Arab world or in Africa, we heard about the struggle. We saw the struggle. Malcolm X came to Sudan. Muhammad Ali came to Sudan. So I grew up seeing that, you know, seeing the Black Fist. And, of course, during the 90s, hip-hop, we grew up with hip-hop, and it was all the same thing. Mos Def, Salif Kweli, and you know, Afrika Bambaataa, all of this always had the Black Fist in it. And this, it became such a powerful icon.
Athletes like Ali, Carlos, Smith, and now Kaepernick have all been demonized for using their platform to push their ideas, according to Albay.
All these athletes, whether it's the athletes from the Olympics in 1968 or whether it's Muhammad Ali, all of them got devilized when they took that decision. But later on, they became a turning point in history, not only African-American history, but in American history and world history, because this is a turning point right now, what Kaepernick is doing, standing up or actually kneeling down in protest of all these things that need to be fixed.
Kaepernick remains unsigned this season. Many have accused NFL teams of not signing the quarterback because of his sideline protest. Ayan Bior for VOA News, Washington.
VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
What's trending on this 11th day of September?
Lots to talk about with tennis, as always. I feel like we talk quite a lot about tennis, but it's been a big 2 weeks in tennis with the U.S. Open, and that came to a conclusion this weekend. And we'll start ladies first. Sloane Stephens completing her underdog comeback in dramatic fashion, beating her friend and fellow American Madison Keys 6-3, 6-love. Getting a lot of congratulations from the tennis world for both of these players, both first-time Grand Slam finalists. So you have the great Billie Jean King. She knows a thing or two about getting to Grand Slam finals and winning big titles.
That's right.
She says, congrats, Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys. You've both come a long way. Proud to see you play in the U.S. Open final. Your first of many to come. She put that out on Twitter. You also have Andy Roddick, another person who won there at the U.S. Open, is one title, Grand Slam title that he won there in New York. He said, an exhibition of class and humility from Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys. You made us all proud. And then if anybody knows anything about winning Grand Slam titles, it's Serena Williams. She actually had a series of tweets that she put out, three tweets about this match. She said, there are no words to describe how proud and how happy I am for Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens for making the U.S. Open finals. She goes on to say, these amazing women continue to change the game and bring excellence, power, finesse, and change to tennis. And finally, what a joy it will be to watch this. Hopefully, first of many finals. Let's go, ladies. So, Serena, very high praise from the 23-time Grand Slam winner. I'm sure Serena would like to be there in the finals with them, and
right,
she may very
right.
well be going forward. But very high praise from the greatest women's player of the game.
Andrew, earlier in the show, Madison Keys talked about that emotional moment after match point where she embraced Sloane Stephens in a very long hug, and yet the match itself, stylistically, I think nerves got the best of Madison Keys.
Yeah, that was what a lot of the folks said on social media. It seemed like they were both a little nervous at the start, but then Sloane really locked in. Madison never really got to that point. You could tell a little bit with that hug at the end. Madison looked a little upset, and Sloane was consoling her. But that hug was one of the viral moments of this match. Hugging it out at the net, an extended embrace that a lot of people said was a moment of true sportsmanship and friendship. You heard Andy Roddick mention it, the class and humanity that he was talking about, referring to that embrace. And another big embrace, too, in the stands. You know, it's tradition now, the players climb up into the stands to hug their coaches and their family and everything. And Sloane Stephens hugging her mother, and she got a lot of attention after that hug on the court in the post-match interview when she said, well, she was very young, Sloane Stephens, a tennis coach said that she could maybe play college tennis if she was lucky.
Mm.
But she said her mom didn't let her give up, and look at where she is now. So she said, all the parents out there, don't let your kids give up on their dreams. That was a really nice moment that a lot of people talked about. Also, talking about the reaction from Sloane Stephens to her prize money, a check for $3.7 million, and that had the internet laughing because Sloane's face on the court was agape. She can be overheard saying, wow, that's a lot of money. And Madison got some laughs because Madison said, I'll hold the check for you if you want. And so they had a little bit of fun there. Interestingly enough, this doubles or nearly doubles Sloane Stephens' career prize money. She had about $4 million in career earnings, and now she adds another $3.7 million to that. So quite a big payday. But Sloane had another viral moment in the press room after the match. A reporter asked her about the future and the drive to win more Grand Slam titles, and here is that exchange.
I know this is kind of fresh, but having done this once, does it give you a hunger to win another slam, to do this again, feel this feeling again?
Of course, girl. Did you see that check that that lady handed me? Like, yes. Man, if that doesn't make you want to play tennis, I don't know what will. Man. So, yes, definitely.
So that viral moment getting a lot of attention, showing that she may be a U.S. Open champion, but she's still very down to earth. And at $3.7 million is a lot, even if you're a huge sports star. Sloane might be focused on that $3.7 million number, and really, who wouldn't be? But there's some other numbers for her to celebrate. She's now number 17 in the world. She went up during this tournament 2 weeks, 66 spots from when she started the tournament at number 83 in the world. And of course, as we've been saying throughout the week, just a month and a half ago, she was number 957 in the world as she rehabbed from injuries. And for Madison Keys, some consolation. She gets a $1.8 million runner-up check, and she moves up 4 spots to number 12 in the world. So even though she didn't win, she gets some benefits from being in the final, at least.
Andrew, you mentioned Sloane Stephens going up into the stands to hug her mother. Great backstory athletic-wise. Her mother, Sybil Smith, was an excellent swimmer back in her prime for Boston University. And her father, the late John Stephens, Sloane named after her father, tragically killed in a car accident in 2009, but he was a professional running back in the National Football League. So I guess some of her athletic talent may be passed down from her parents.
It's in the genes, as they say. It's all the genetics, for sure.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, it wasn't just the women that had their final championship there at the U.S. Open. It was also the men yesterday, and Rafael Nadal capturing his 16th Grand Slam title there in a straight sets win over South Africa's Kevin Anderson. Disappointing for Kevin, but a great opportunity to get there. And on social media, all you saw was his gratitude for his team and for their support. He said, to step on Arthur Ashe with Rafael Nadal for my first Grand Slam final was an honor. I look forward to sharing the court with you again soon. And in another post on social media, he said, it's been an incredible 2 weeks, a memory I will never forget, and I look forward to making more. And speaking of numbers, Kevin Anderson's now 15 in the world, up 17 spots from the start of the tournament. He had been as low as 80 in the world earlier this year as he recovered from injuries. And Rafael Nadal celebrating some big numbers too. Of course, 16th Grand Slam title, retaining the number one world ranking. And sharing that with his compatriot, Garbiñe Muguruza, is the new world number one for women. It's the first time, Sonny, since 2003 that the same country has the number one man and the number one woman in tennis.
So interesting.
I'll let you take a stab, see if you can guess what country, and if you can even name the players. 2003, I'll give you a hint. It's has something to do maybe with our semifinals on the women's side.
Okay, I guess it's got to be the red, white, and blue of the USA.
Red, white, and blue, and I know we're running out of time, so I won't make you guess, but it was Andre Agassi and Serena Williams.
Interesting.
Last two to be number one from the same country.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. And we'll see you on Tuesday, Andrew.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the September 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For over 60 years, UN peacekeeping missions have operated in some of the most dangerous and difficult environments in the world. Peacekeepers provide stability and prevent fresh outbreaks of violence, and in doing so, assist war-torn countries in their transition from conflict to peace. As today's security challenges have grown more complex and dangerous, UN peacekeeping missions often include political, military, and human rights aspects that have caused us to ask more of our peacekeepers. They are expected to de-escalate tensions, prevent fresh outbreaks of conflict, and protect civilians. This level of complexity makes comprehensive training imperative. The United States and India have a long history of supporting international peacekeeping efforts. The United States is the largest financial contributor to UN peacekeeping operations, while India is one of the largest contributors of peacekeepers. So it only makes sense that these two countries would be involved in the training of UN peacekeepers. In July, the two countries jointly hosted the second annual U.S.-India-UN peacekeeping course for African partners, which is a 3-week course for military personnel who train peacekeepers in their own countries. The course aimed to build the capacity of African nations contributing troops to UN peacekeeping missions and covered topics dealing with operational and logistical matters and humanitarian issues. Military officers from Benin, Ethiopia, Ghana, Guinea, Kenya, Malawi, Namibia, Niger, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Tanzania, Togo, Uganda, and Zambia attended the course. This training will help ensure that a new generation of peacekeepers will achieve the highest standards necessary for mission success. Mary Kay Carlson, U.S. Chargé d'Affaires in New Delhi, described the significance of the course and the larger peacekeeping cooperation effort between the two countries as part of the transformation of the U.S.-India bilateral relationship into a global partnership. She continued saying, "The United States and India are working together not only for the benefit of our two nation citizens, but also to improve lives across the globe. The designation last year of India as a major defense partner of the United States further underscores the importance of our two nations as net security providers in the global arena. This course is a great example of what we are doing together."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, fresh off a three-nation Africa visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania. Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered, reporting on democracy in Africa. On the Road with Shaka, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee you.